when I know last year studying real estate that CoreLogic and Moody's and, you know, Reese before they, you know, integrated by Moody's and bought up, everybody was predicting real estate would go up like 3 to 5%, maybe 10%. No one predicted this. No one. In Phoenix alone, an index that measures home prices climbed a whopping 29.3% in June from the previous year as more people moved into that city. In 1 year, Phoenix real estate on average increased 29.3%. That's insanity. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Higher Standard Podcast, where we give you ultra premium, unfiltered truth when it comes to building your wealth and curating the lifestyle of your dreams. No games, no drama, and no shenanigans. I am your host, Chris Nahibi, and I'm here to help you distill the immense amount of information and disinformation out there on the interwebs and give you the opportunity to choose a higher standard for yourself. There are no gurus here, and no one gives a damn about how wealthy you look. I'm an attorney and a banker, amongst other things. Does that mean you should listen to me? Hell no. This is just full disclosure that while we talk about money, wealth, law, investing, and a lot of related topics, you should always speak to your own advisors for an opinion tailored to your unique investment perspective. I am obligated to tell you that nothing contained in this show is in fact legal or investment advice and is being provided solely for entertainment purposes. So sit back, relax your mind, and get ready for a different kind of podcast where we elevate your baseline in crispy, high-resolution audio. This isn't a different standard. It's the higher standard. I'm practicing my DJ Khaled. And another one. So this week, I got a different kind of episode. I don't really want to talk about necessarily one thing, but several things that have been kind of on my mind lately. And it started off with, social media. I got that little blue check mark now on Instagram, which frankly doesn't really mean that much anymore. I recognize some people look at it and adds value or you're a notable figure, but honestly, it really doesn't do a whole lot. I didn't even get a notification from Instagram when I got it. I just woke up one day, 3 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep, was going to send a message to somebody, and there was a little blue check mark. I had planned for it. I put in requests for it a long time ago. I guess it finally got reviewed and approved. It's cool. You know, it's nice to have. But the conversations that it has sparked afterward as it relates to friends and support on social media have been, I mean, just damn frustrating, man. Just, you know, liking someone's social content is as easy as just liking it, right? And commenting is super easy. It takes you 2 seconds. But people don't want to do that. They don't want to be seen supporting people. And it's funny to me because, you know, 99% of people on social media are consumers and 1% are actually creators. And if you can permeate the creator space, you know, there's a lot of potential there. And while I haven't monetized anything and I'm not trying to sell you anything, I do put out a lot of content for free, man. The podcast, the forthcoming book, all the stuff that we're doing, it's a lot of work. And it's really aimed at just trying to help people. So you would think the friends and family around me would rally around that and be like, yo, man, this is great. And it started off that way. It certainly started off that way. I'd get comments from people like, yo, this is awesome, you know, likes. And then as things got more serious, it seemed like that all went away. People just slowly stopped commenting. Like it wasn't cool anymore. It wasn't hip. It wasn't like a thing that he was doing like a fad, you know, and people stopped responding. And it's weird. And I didn't really address it or anything like that, but I got a call this week from a buddy I hadn't talked to in a long time. And, you know, he and I left things on a rocky situation. And I can admit it, I'm hard to be friends with because I'm so focused on so many things. I'm not the world's greatest friend. There it is, you know. And I'm going to say Jordan's my friend. We've been friends since we were kids. I love that dude. And, you know, we went a different way. Yeah, it's not necessarily bad thing or a good thing. I hope that we're still friends. He definitely doesn't see eye to eye on some things that I said. But in the conversation we were having, we were trying to reconcile things. And I think we will get there, him and I, one day. He did say to me that he had to defend me from a group of other people that we used to be, you know, mutual friends with because they were saying bad things. And that just blows my mind. I'm out here trying to do something positive for people, right? I'm not trying to be douchey or inauthentic or whatever. I'm just trying to be real and I'm trying to provide good information. And if you don't need it, then don't consume it. But the part that kept me up that night, it was like, wait a minute. You were talking to some people about my post, two or three people, he said. And they were making fun of me and taking jokes. Well, guess what? This content's working. It created enough of a buzz, whether good or bad, for you to go and talk about it. And you guys had a conversation offline about it. But I would have had more respect for all of those people had you have dropped your comment in my comment section, had you have liked the post. You can't visibly be seen liking my stuff, but you could visibly be seen criticizing my stuff. I'm open to that conversation. Let's have it. But haters that quietly move in the dark, it's the story of my life. Every time I've thought I've crossed over into a new thing or I've become more successful in some way, there's always a hater or a doubter or somebody out there talking. And it's to the point now where I don't even really care. It boggles my mind because me as a human, I try to rationalize this crazy behavior of how people act and why they do it and the psychology behind it. But I don't think that I'm ever really going to get there. It doesn't matter if they believe in me. I believe in me. My wife believes in me. And I'm setting a good example for my son. Shouldn't that be enough? Not to some people. They always want to find a way to tear you down. Mind you, none of these people out there creating content, trying to help people, they didn't start nonprofits. They're not on any boards. They're not out there doing these things. This is not about money and success as a monetary measure. This is about trying to legitimately help people. And what are you doing? Truth be told, I don't like being on camera. I've always felt uncomfortable. I've never felt like an attractive person. I had a birthmark on my forehead when I was a kid. I've never looked at myself in the mirror to this day as a 41-year-old man and said, damn, I'm a good-looking dude. Believe it or not, I've never actually thought that. So for me to be on camera, on social media, me to be out there, this visible, it took a lot of courage for someone like me who's not comfortable. I'm totally fine talking on a microphone to somebody because I think, you know, other than the fact that I mumble and some words aren't enunciated so great, I think, you know, everything I do here is fine. But that's not me on a camera and certainly not on social media and certainly not trying to do those things. So I relish the moments where the success, which is small and fleeting, is quantifiable and something like getting verified. I didn't post about it or make any comments about it. But it did mean something to me. And I appreciate all those along the way that helped me out and a lot of people who gave me input and taught me the right way to go. It's a little measure. It means a lot. And it's funny to see how the people that actually noticed and congratulated me, they weren't really a lot of my family. You know, they weren't really any of my super close friends. It was the people that I didn't expect. And that meant a lot to me. It really changed my perspective on who I think is close to me. I guess the moral of the story is, you know, people change, life changes, you lose your friends. We talked about that in an episode before about losing your friends 50% every 7 years or so on average. But it never ceases to amaze you, and that's just humanity. But let's get into some real stuff to this week. Let's get into two topics that I got to talk about. One is this NFT craze. The second, we'll get into some interesting real estate stuff that I think we can spend a little bit less time on, but it's definitely interesting and the market's crazy. Both the things I want to talk to you about, let's start with the NFTs, are absolutely nuts. Like, I just don't understand. So maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am. I don't know, but Steph Curry made the news, you know, this week. He bought a Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT for $180,000 in Ethereum. That's $180,000 for a picture, dude. Like, I don't get that. Did I miss this? Am I confused here? Because here's the thing I don't get, right? So you own the rights to that photo, but people can copy it. I could blow it up, put it in my house. You would never know. I mean, it's a JPEG. It's a picture. It's an image. And I understand if you're an artist and stuff's trading on the secondary market, you know, hey, it's cool. You get your rights. You get your royalties. Like, I respect how NFTs can help artists. And don't get me wrong, for title to real estate, for title to a car, you know, the blockchain, that's the future. People will know who owns what everywhere in the blockchain and who's supposed to be the owner on title. The way we do things now with real estate world is antiquated. DMV, titling your vehicles, I don't really know that's the way to do it in the future. But if you're in the music industry, think about how the music industry would have changed if the blockchain would have been there and you could sell music as an NFT. There's a couple of musicians out there right now. I think, you know, Tory Lanez, I think, or somebody like that is out there selling music as an NFT, made $1 million in like an hour. And I get the value in that. Someone sells your music, they trade it online, you get a royalty on that, however big or small. And let's say you sell you know, a certain number of copies of your album, it's all good, right? But people can still rip that information and sell it. So I don't really understand the security part of this. And maybe that's just me, but I've got a Mac. I could literally rip music off of stuff, you know, or copy the audio from my phone or something like that. So I don't really necessarily know that there's security in that for a musical artist or how it works. But this craze, and I'm talking real craze over JPEG pictures that people are buying for millions of dollars. Yeah, millions. Steph Curry wasn't the most expensive one. In terms of appreciation in the market, the first Bored Ape, that picture of a monkey that Steph Curry bought, is only one of several. First one sold for 0.68 Ethereum back in May, right? This is, as of right now, this is only like 4 or 5 months ago, right? Just recently, Bored Ape number 3749, which I looked up because it tripped me out. I had to see what could sell for this much. This is a picture of an ape with a sailor's hat and a black shirt and laser beam eyes, right? Same artist, Bored Ape Yacht Club, as the one that Steph Curry bought. This thing saw numbers in the 1,500 Ethereum range. For those of you who want to know approximate numbers, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of $4.8 million. For a JPEG, man, for a picture. How fucking crazy is that? So I looked at the picture, and so I pulled it up. I looked at it. I went to OpenSea.io, found a picture of it, clicked on it. It brought up a beautiful quality one. I could make this thing the screensaver on my phone right now, and the owner who paid four, or you know, who could sell this thing for $4 million would never know. So how is this? What are we doing, people? Is this the new pet rock? Is it digital? Like, what are we doing? This is crazy. I don't get it. And if someone wants to hit me up in the DMs and slap me around and tell me why I don't understand the value in the blockchain and how this works, I'm all for it, man. I've looked at the cat ones. I've looked at this. I've looked at the digital, you know, punk ones that, you know, like Jay-Z just bought one and made it his icon. And apparently that's one of the benefits here, is you can make it your social media avatar, whatever, man. It's a picture, man. That's what it is. It's crazy. I do not understand it at all for this purpose. The blockchain has a tremendous amount of value to artists, definitely, to musicians, definitely, to real estate, to anything that really needs a title of ownership. But what we're doing right now, it's crazy. It's absolutely bizarre. I guess in theory, if you had a metaverse where, you know, people immerse themselves in a virtual reality world and people couldn't copy the image and only you could display this image in your metaverse, if you want to get real, you know, nerdy and geek out on it, I guess I would get that on some level, that you could display this in a way that nobody else could. But I don't get it. I'm assuming most of society doesn't get it. I talked to a dude who's a collector, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars recently on something very similar to the Bored Ape Yacht Club. And he couldn't even explain to me. He was just trying to get in on it because he could turn it over and resell it. I don't get it. Most people don't get it. Even people who buy it don't get it. It's a pet rock. That's what I'm going to say until someone changes my mind. Let's move on. Some data just came out today on Bloomberg Business about homes in some of the largest U.S. cities that keep getting more expensive. Now, what's crazy is when you hear the numbers of how much more expensive they got in how short of a time. And it blows my mind that supply is so short right now and rates are so low that we've gotten to this point. When I know last year studying real estate that CoreLogic and Moody's and, you know, Reese, before they, you know, integrated by Moody's and bought up, everybody was predicting real estate would go up like 3 to 5%, maybe 10%. No one predicted this. No one. In Phoenix alone, an index that measures home prices climbed a whopping 29.3% in June from the previous year as more people moved into that city. In 1 year, Phoenix real estate on average increased 29.3%. That's insanity. Real estate markets always peak before a recessionary economy. And I'm not saying absolutely that's what's happening next, but I'll tell you, when I look at this, I see I see some alarming numbers. These numbers are alarmingly high. And rates as of right now, 30-year mortgages have been kind of stagnant. They're like around 3% for most single family stuff. And you can get lower if you go, you know, hybrid 3.57, you know, whatever hybrid, you can get below that. I've seen 2.5% recently. I've seen customers allegedly saying they can get closer to, you know, 2.25, whatever. I don't care, man. Rates are low. The measure in San Diego, same period of time, San Diego real estate on average single family homes, 27.1% increase, while Seattle increased 25%. The index in 9 cities jumped 20% or more across the United States. That is absolutely crazy, next level, abnormal. No justification. This world is not meant to be. This is not stable stuff. This cannot be a continuing trend. And you want to tell them, if anybody wants to tell me right now, the real estate's going to increase next year, a 3-5% increase, and it's going to decelerate and then eventually lower, okay, maybe I buy that. But it is not going up another 30% next year. If it goes up another 30% next year, every single person in every major market will be priced out, even if you're, you know, in the 1%, the bottom of the 1% that makes, you know, a good amount of money a year, because you won't be able to afford real estate. A buddy of mine just told me today he spent $1,000 a square foot on a 1,300 square foot home. Do the math. That's $1.3 million for a 1,300 square foot home. That doesn't make sense. It is crazy. His argument was he got utility out of it. You know, it was my family needed it. And I get that. You shouldn't be buying a single family home as an investment. You should really look at that as the utility you get for you and your family, whatever. That home should not be trading that high. $500, $600 a square foot, $7,000, maybe $1,000. Get out of here. Overall, in 20 cities measured by the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller data, which is where this comes from, the index rose 18.6% in June from a year earlier. Now, here's a powerful statement that I think really says a lot about how striking these numbers are. That is the largest surge since 1988. And for those of you who are old enough to know what came after 1988 was a recessionary economy. There was definitely 91. There was all sorts of issues that came up. But for those of you who remember the Great Recession, 2007 and onward, real estate values were high then. They were absolutely high then, and they came falling right back down. The home that I live in today, I bought as real estate owned. And the story of it, I put it out there. I think we did it for a YouTube video. I think it's a worthwhile 6 minutes to kind of explore about how I got it. My home then had a top value of like $500,000 or $600,000. It's closer to $700,000 today. And I'll tell you right now, my home, an attached townhome, I live, you know, in a small place, my wife and I and my son, it is not worth that much money. That is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And people always tell me, well, Chris, why don't you sell a property? Or they say, hey, my home is worth so much, why don't I sell my property? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Rental rates are going through the roof in some cities. Look up the data. It's out there. I also posted something about that not too long ago, too, where you're seeing tremendous increases in rental rates that were really unpredicted. As a matter of fact, people thought that rental rates were going to go the other way, because the theory was that because people were working from home, they were going to start spreading out, you know, from major metropolitan areas into less densely populated areas. And as a result, these major metropolitan areas would have less demand. There'd be increases in vacancy, plus the eviction moratoriums. And there would be this Molotov cocktail of things that would drive rental rates down. Well, that did not happen. People went away for a little bit, but they sure as hell came back to the major cities, number one. Number two, the eviction moratoriums, while there is criticism out there, there's going to be a lot of politicized stuff about this comment, but it's just the data, so don't get angry. At the first of the month, most of these places were around 70% collection at the height of the Great Recession. At the height of the eviction moratoriums. I'm on so much of a mental rage, I can't even keep my economic events straight. During the month, though, through the month, collections wound up being in the 90%. So if somebody, you know, didn't pay, they just typically slow paid through the month. And most landlords were okay. And there's obviously exceptions out there. So what also happened? Well, these people who would otherwise be buying properties or coming back into the market can't afford to buy properties anymore because some of these areas are going like crazy. 20% in a single year, even with rates that low, they can't afford this stuff. So what do? They try to buy, give up buying and go rent again. And guess what? Demand is high again. And rental rates are going up. These are warning indicators, people. You need to take them in. You need to appreciate them. And okay, Chris, friends, social media, NFTs, real estate, what does this all have to do with one another? Okay, look, jealousy, envy, you know, all these things happen as people become more and more successful around you, right? And people have this fear of missing out, of other opportunities, and the economies get really frothy. So what happens? Values go up in homes, banks lend to a certain percentage of loan to value. And as they lend more money because the values are increasing, there's more money in the economy, people buy more dumb shit like NFTs. The indicators are out there of a really, really scary thing, and that's being at the top of a prosperous economy. You never want to be at the top of something. You never want to be absolutely perfect. There's only one direction to go, and that's down. And I'll tell you right now, there is a lot here to unpack from data that says we are really, really, really high up on an economic prosperity likelihood of being at the top. Food for thought. Think it through. I'm not saying I'm an economist. I sure as hell am not. I'm just a dude who watches this stuff a lot, does it for a living, and really takes passion in exploring it and unpacking it all. Thank you for listening. Please like, follow, subscribe. I'm on every social media, YouTube, Instagram. Get out there. Hit me up. Comment. If you like my stuff, comment. Don't be like my friends and family. Get out there and do it. Show me some love. I need it. I'll show you some love right back. I'm easily accessible. Till next time. Peace out. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation on the Higher Standard Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you are listening to this on. If you like this episode, please write a review and share it with us. You're getting the show up and running right now, so every message, every review, and every note counts. This show exists to showcase what's possible when leaders decide to uphold a higher standard for their businesses, their investments, their families, and most importantly, themselves. If you want to see more of my content, I post daily on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, so be sure to follow me on your favorite social media platform. And with that, it is a wrap. And as always, I look forward to hanging with you all on the next episode.